This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This evening, I would like to look at verses 1 through 12 this evening. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is none a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother that before the unbelievers. And now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law with one another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I am not to be brought under the power of any. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us this evening through your word and help us to understand and realize what you've called us to be, what you've called us from, and what you've called us to. Lord, as Paul is dealing with the church in Corinth, Lord, help us to understand the truths that are there for us as well. Speak to us, we pray, and may your Spirit help us to understand. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the problems that they are having in the church at Corinth, as we mentioned, was pride. One of the things that happens when you're proud is you don't want to give in. You don't want to ever be wrong. And that can be a mark of pride. And also, you don't want to deal with situations. And that can be a mark of pride as well. And these people, because pride was an issue in this church, there was other issues that went off from that. When you're proud, you lose position. You lose sight of your position in Christ, and that's what had happened to these individuals. They lost sight of their position in Christ, their calling in Christ, and what Christ was making them into, the new men and women that they were being in Him. How that not only had they been justified through faith and experienced salvation, but He was in the process of sanctifying them, setting them apart, that they would, when they were glorified, experience what He ultimately has for all of us who are believers. That is, He has told us that we shall rule and reign with Him. Now, if we're going to rule and reign with Him, that tells us that we will have authority that He imparts or delegates to us as His children and as His co-heirs. The scriptures tell us that it's as if we are seated in the heavenlies now with the Lord. That's our position in Christ. What had happened in the church at Corinth is they lost sight of that. And it really amounted to looking at themselves and their own concerns. And they wouldn't deal with the real issues and problems when things would arise between them. Paul doesn't specifically give us the cases that were here, what the problems were, and that's not the real issue. The real issue is they didn't resolve the problems between them, And they didn't go to people in the church, other believers, when they had an issue between two brothers or two sisters, to go to another brother or sister and have them resolve the problem through the scriptures. But instead, they were taking them to the legal courts, the secular courts, and they were allowing ungodly men to decide the issues between them. I remember a number of years ago listening to Larry Burkett talk about how that he had a man come to him one day, and this man had said that he had a partner, and they had started a business together, and this man had put most of his money into the business, and the partner had done some things. The partner claimed to be a Christian, and the partner had basically defrauded this man, and through a series of maneuvers, legal maneuvers behind the scenes, he'd ended up taking and gaining control of the company, and then he basically took all of the rights away from this man who had invested his money in there and was supposed to be a partner, and they were supposed to be brothers with Christ. Well, this man had came to Larry Burkett because Larry Burkett was talking about finances, and he said, what should I do? Should I sue him? Should I take him to court? And Larry Burkett says, well, if you're asking me from a human perspective, I'd say you have every right to sue him. You should take him right to court. But you don't want to hear what I've got to say. We need to look at what God's got to say. And so he took him, and one of the places he took him was here. And he says, what does it say here about when we have an issue with a brother? And he says, well, it says I'm supposed to take him before, we're supposed to go to the church. I'm supposed to go, in other words, and we're supposed to ultimately go to the Lord with the issue. And he says, well, that's what God is saying. And he says, it doesn't matter what Larry Burkett told him. He says, it doesn't matter what I think, but it matters what God thinks. And God's telling you, you really shouldn't sue him. But Larry Burkett says, what you should do is allow God to deal with him. And the Lord can deal with him in ways that you or I can't. And so the man didn't know if he thought that was good advice or not. But he left, and it was a while later, Larry Burkett met him, and he said, well, what did you decide to do? And he said, well, I decided to listen to your counsel. I'm not going to sue him, but he said, it's very painful for me because I've lost most of my money in this investment that was in the company, and I'm not getting anything for it. And the things that we were working on are just coming into they're really blossoming, and the business is taking off, and he's making a lot of money, and I'm not getting my share at all. I'm basically cut off from it all. I'm not part of the business anymore. And he says, I'm just going to have to trust that the Lord will take care of me and will deal with him. And the business continued to grow. It continued to see as if the man was, there was not going to be any justice here. But then one day, all of a sudden, this man's lawyer called this guy kind of out of the blue. And he said, we need to have you come over here. And he said, well, what's the deal? Well, the business has been offered to be bought, but in going through the records, when their attorney was going through the records, he saw that your name was on there and that you were part owner of this business, and so we need to have you sign off on this, and then you will get your share of the purchase of what is paid for this company, because we can't sell it without your signature. And so he ended up doing that, and he got his share. And he went back to Larry Burkett, and he said, you know, if I would have sued him, it would have cost me a lot of money. But he said, God took care of the situation. And Larry Burkett told him, the most important thing wasn't that you got your share of the business back, you got your share of the money when he sold the business. The most important thing is that you trusted God, and you did what God told you to do. Now, that's what Paul's telling these people to do. He's saying, I want you to just stop and think about this. Do you realize your position and calling in Christ? Do you realize what He's got planned for you when you die and go to be with Him? Do you realize what He's got planned for you when the new heavens and the new earth come into being, when He establishes His kingdom forever and ever? We're not just going to sit up in the clouds and play harps like Hollywood would tell us, but rather the Scriptures tell us we're going to rule and reign with Him. We're going to have authority with Him. The Bible tells us also that He who is entrusted and faithful with little should be given much. And Jesus, one of the things that He did is He gave more than one parable where He dealt with faithful servants and unfaithful servants. And faithful servants trusted in the Lord and did what the Lord said and took care of what the Lord gave to them and did it to honor and glorify the Lord, where the unfaithful servants didn't. And we see here that Paul is saying, you need to examine what you're doing. You're willing to take, when you've got a dispute with a brother, instead of going to other believers and having them look at what's going and talk to you about it and look at the Scriptures on how to deal with it, you're going to the ungodly world. And then in verses 11 and 12, he tells us what these people are like. Now, if you just stop and think about it, instead of going to people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who are your brothers and sisters in Christ, who have been saved from their sin, these people in Corinth were taking their issues and putting them before people who are unrighteous. Paul tells us what the unrighteous are like, beginning at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? We're going to inherit that kingdom. They're not. Why aren't they? He says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is the character of the men and women of the world. He says they are those that they're fornicators, sexual sin. They're idolaters. They worship false gods. They're adulterers. They're not faithful. They are effeminate. There's homosexuality that goes on. They're abusers of themselves with mankind. They do that which is unseemly. They are thieves. They take that which doesn't belong to them. They are covetous. They long for what others have and desire to take it from them. They're drunkards. They allow alcohol and drugs to control their thinking and actions. They're revilers. They are more concerned about partying and more concerned about being wild in their behavior than they are about godliness. They're extortioners. They threaten others and try to take from them by their threats. None of them shall inherit the kingdom of God, and this is their character. Now, we can see that has really been true when you look at our nation and you look at the judicial system and you look at some of the judges that people are trying to take cases before. Remember General Flynn and his case. General Flynn did nothing. He was falsely accused. And then he was set up illegally by a corrupt agents of the FBI and a corrupt FBI. Then he was taken and charges were filed against him. And then he was threatened that if he would not plead guilty, they would continue to go after and try to prosecute his son and take all of his son's possessions. And by the time it was done, General Flynn had lost just about all of his money. He lost his home, trying to defend himself. And he pleaded guilty when he wasn't guilty just so they wouldn't continue on with the extortion and lies and false charges against his family. And then when he got an attorney that would defend, and then we found out that the first attorneys he had were really kind of in alignment with all the other people that were doing these wicked things. When he finally got a good attorney who was a believer, he got this believer, and she was able to get the charges, and it appeared that she had won the case and was going to win the case. There was no reason why he should be pronounced guilty. The Justice Department dropped all the charges against him, but all this judge had to do was sign off, and he refused to do it. And he was going to bring more charges against General Flynn that were false charges. That is what the world does when you try to trust in the justice of the world, because they're wicked, ungodly people. And he's saying, why do you want to do that? You know their character. Why are you going to them? You need to look to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to be looking to one another, praying for one another. And when there's a problem, we need to go to the Lord, and we need to go to the council of fellow believers to resolve the issue. And don't need to go to the world. And so Paul is telling us that. Now he goes on and he tells us what our position is going to be. He says, but know ye not that the saints shall judge the world. It's not that the world shall judge the saints. It's the other way around. We're going to judge the world. Why? Because we are new creatures in Christ. We'll be walking in the righteousness of the Lord, and we shall rule and reign with Jesus. And it talks about the fact that when he returns to establish his kingdom, who's coming with him? His 10,000s of saints, according to Enoch, who is quoted in Jude, that he's coming with his 10,000s of saints to establish his kingdom. Guess who the 10,000s of saints, you and I, are going to be there. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him. That means we're going to be given authority to judge. Well, whose authority are we going to be judging by? Jesus dealt with this issue as well. Back in the book of Matthew, remember when we were studying through Matthew, there's the verse that talks about, that it seems like every unbeliever has, judge not, lest you be judged. And that seems to be the only verse they know in the Bible, because if you bring up things that are convicting to them about sin, then they go, oh, judge not, lest you be judged. What is Jesus talking about there? What is the foundation for your judgment? You have to read the whole verse in context, and you'll see that what's happening in that situation is Jesus is talking about what is the basis by which you make judgments? What is the basis by which you test fruit? Jesus tells us that we're to test people's fruit, that by your fruit you shall know them, and what fruit they bear with their life. Do they bear godly fruit or ungodly fruit? Do they reflect the character of Christ, or do they reflect the character of Satan in this world? And he says, you shall know them by it. Well, what basis do you judge that? How are you a fruit tester? How are you a judge of a man's character? Well, it's not by my character. I don't judge your character by my character, because in my eyes, I could always find somebody who appeared to be a worse person than me, but other people could always find somebody that's a better person than me. And so if we were going to be comparing personalities and characters one to another, we'd have problems. I can tend to be a little prejudiced in the way that I view myself sometimes in light of other people. And so if I'm doing that, I'm having a false view of what's reality. So what do I use to test and judge? I use the character of God, His Word, and what He says is righteous and holy. Not what in my idea is righteous and holy, but what God says is righteous and holy. And that's what I use as my basis of judgment. Well, if I'm coming and using that as my basis of judgment, when I come into a dispute, I'm not coming and saying, well, you know, I kind of like him better than I like him, and so I think I'm going to side with him in this dispute. That's not the basis by which I'm judging. Or I'm not coming saying, well, from my perspective, it doesn't care, like Larry Burkett says. You don't want to hear what I say, but we need to hear what God says. So I need to come, and when I judge, I should be coming and judging in righteousness and holiness according to the Word of God and the character of Christ. And so when I'm looking at a situation, I look at it through the lens of the Scriptures and through the character of Christ. And when I do that, then I can see what the Bible says about an issue, and I can see what the problem is and what the solution is according to Scripture. Now, the Bible tells us, I'm going to judge the world one day, and so are you, but we're not going to judge it and go, this is the time I get even with all them people that treated me wrong. No, that's not what it is. We're going to be judging according to Christ's righteousness and His what He has given to us as a judgment. We are ambassadors for the Lord, and we're also under His lordship. If you go as someone who's representing the United States as an ambassador, you have no authority of your own to do anything, do you? You can't go and say, well, I'm Glenn Knutson, and I'm coming here, and I'm coming, and I'm an ambassador, so you here in Norway, you need to do this because I tell you that. And I want to make this deal with you because I'm telling you this is the deal we should do. No, I'd be an ambassador to the United States, and I'd go and I'd say, I'm representing the government of the United States, and I'm representing the president as his ambassador, and this is what we want to do, and this is what we are seeing that needs to be done. And I'd be acting on behalf. Well, that's what we are doing for Jesus. We're acting on behalf of Jesus. We're going to be judging on behalf of Christ. We're not going to be judging in our own wisdom, in our own righteousness, or in our own understanding, but according to His Word, according to His righteousness and His understanding, and we're going to judge the world. We're going to be a part of that. I don't know exactly what He's going to have us do or how He's going to have us do it, but the Scriptures tell us that it's going to happen. And Paul refers to that, and he says, well, if you're going to judge the world one day, why are you going and allowing the world to judge you? That seems rather foolish. He says here, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And he's saying here, the smallest matters really should be issues that come between brothers and sisters in Christ. We may think they're huge, but they're really not if we look and we both love the Lord. It should be something that should be able to be resolved rather quickly and easily. One of the sad things is when Christians don't understand this. I remember a number of years ago I went to a church and there were people that had come from the same area and they'd grown up together as kids. And there were people that came up to, when they all moved to Fargo from the area that they came from, they all went to the same church. And when they went to the same church where I was going, what was amazing to me is you had people that were remembering things that their parents or their grandparents had done to one another 20 and 30 and 40 years ago, and they were still holding grudges, yet they all claimed to be Christians. Well, that doesn't seem like this is very biblical according to this, because we're not supposed to hold grudges. We're supposed to forgive, and we're supposed to come and to love one another and to walk in fellowship with one another, not harboring bitterness towards one another. And Paul says, if you think that you're going to one day judge the world through Christ, when it comes to the little matters that we face in this life, we need to be able to do them properly and judge and deal with them properly through the Scriptures. Then he goes on and he says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? Well, where does the Bible talk about us judging angels? Well, turn with me to Jude chapter 6, Jude verse 6. Jude writes the following. He says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Well, what is the great day? The great day is when Jesus will come and judge. Christ will ultimately be the judge, but we're going to be ruling and reigning with Him, and we shall be seated with Him. And in this sense, we will be judging with Him. Then if you would also go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, Peter says basically something very similar. He says, He that saith, I know him and keepeth his commandments is, I'm sorry, got the wrong verse here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And Peter writes the following: "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be observed unto judgment, and spared not the old world and saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and burning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah." And he's talking about God's judgment. But he's talking about that there's coming a day of judgment where the angels that sinned and lost their estate as angels because they rebelled against God are going to face judgment. You can go and you can read that when Jesus was casting the demons out of the demoniac, they begged him and they said, "Why are you here to judge us before our time?" They know this day is coming where they shall be judged. But they hadn't evidently done the evil, wicked things that were talked about in 2 Peter, where angels did that which was that God said was unseemly and deserved judgment immediately, where they cohabitated with women and all of that that happened at the time of Noah, which ultimately led to the flood. But we see that those angels that Jesus talked to and dealt with asked him, "You're not here, are you here to judge us before our time?" And then they begged him, "Don't judge us, but rather cast us into the swine." And so he cast them into the swine, and then they caused the swine to jump over the cliff into the Sea of Galilee. But we see that there's judgment that's going to occur to angels, and that the Bible tells us somehow we're going to be part of Christ judging the angels because we will be with him. He is the one that ultimately is the judge. But having said that, Paul's telling us here, you know that there's coming the day, know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And so we need to look at this life and understand that we are walking with Jesus, and we've been given special gifts. We've been given His Spirit. We've been given His power. We've been given His wisdom. We've been given His discernment. We've been given His Word. And we can use His Word, His wisdom, His discernment, His power, and His Spirit to judge and deal with situations within our lives and within the lives of one another within the church. And we shouldn't be trusting it to the world to come up with the solutions. "If then ye be judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." And what he's saying there is, do you realize the least in the church, the one that people would view as being, well, they have the least knowledge, or have the least authority or the least position. He said, you should be able to go to them and have them judge, because that's the power of God working through the life of His children that should have that discernment and that understanding instead of going out and taking your disputes to the world. So Paul dealt with this issue, and we need to understand what our position is in Christ. We need to understand the importance of having fellowship with one another. When issues do come up, we need to take those things to the Lord and understand that God can deal with hearts, and we are to look to His Word for discernment and being able to give counsel through the power of His Spirit and understanding how to apply His Word to the situations that come up in our life. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand these truths and help us to apply these truths to our life. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see that we're all to act in Your power and in Your Spirit. And Father, that we're not to go to the world and the courts of the world and take brothers and sisters to court, but rather we're to look to You and have You deal with this through us and our lives. And may we call upon Your Spirit through Your Word to help us to resolve issues when they come up. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 379. 379. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is a pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. Oh, no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrained me to answer His call, follow His leading and give Him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself to me. I owe no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, wherever I am, doing each duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, taking each trial as a part of the cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I owe no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I live henceforth to give, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus this little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones He died to redeem, bringing the weary to rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give myself for Thee. O Lord, other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Lord, I pray that You would just help us to live our lives for You and truly give them for You. Go with us now and help us to have a blessed rest of the week. And may we gather together to worship You this coming Lord's Day. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.